to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Hey, make sure you're at the newly renovated First Energy Stadium this season to see your Cleveland Browns in action at the best prices by securing your Cleveland Browns season tickets today. Visit clevelandbrowns.com or call 440-824-3434 today. It's Monday, so that means we bring in Gerard Cherry, the three-time Super Bowl champ, for three good topics to cover with Gerard. Gerard, first of all, welcome.
Thank you very much, Vic.
So the pads went on today, Gerard, and take us through kind of the mental process of getting used to that and obviously different probably from your earlier days in your career when there really wasn't much of a delay. Usually camp got here, put the pads on and go, but this team worked without pads Saturday, Sunday. They haven't had them on obviously since the end of last year. So what is that transition like?
Yeah, just a situation in which mentally you get your mind right, realizing that, one, you're not going to get taken to the ground or anything that strong of nature or magnitude, but just understand that you have the pads on, and with that comes a greater level of responsibility in how you guard yourself and how you go about practicing. So just understanding straight out that, hey, the real time is here. It's now. Once you put those pads on, it's all for real. And this is adjustment with that and just a real revelation and realization that it's finally here once you put those pads on.
Gerard, what are you looking for when you watch training camp with this team? What are the things that you're hoping to see stand out to you about this Mike Pettine coach Cleveland Browns franchise?
I'm looking at tempo. I'm looking at enthusiasm. I'm looking at attitude. And one of the things I'm already noticing, I haven't even seen in practice, is that Coach Pettine is talking about thudding as opposed to tagging off and tapping off. That is a huge thing. And most people hear that and say, oh, it's just thudding. But when you're instructing guys that, hey, we're going to thud you, that lets you know that they're trying to be a physical football team, and they're going to get that mentality right away in set and in mold, because typically most teams say, oh, just tag the guy, let him run by. But physical teams, they thud. Physical teams, they tackle. So that shows me right there that Coach Pettine is serious in regards to the whole idea of being a physical football team.
Gerard, let's talk about the quarterback competition, because that is the story that will never go away here. But early on, a lot of discussion, as I think we were – pretty certain it would look this way, that Brian Hoyer much more comfortable with the offense, much more comfortable with calling the plays, and it just looks smoother with him in there than it has looked with Johnny Manziel. A lot of fits and starts with him, especially from a play calling standpoint, and some inconsistency. So is it kind of going the way you thought it would too? And really, do you think there's truly enough time between now and whenever a final decision, let's use the Mike Pettine timeline of like the third preseason game, to know who your starter is going to be for September 7th? Is there time in that period for Johnny Manziel to not only catch up but move ahead?
I see Johnny Manziel being a year or two behind Brian Hoyer from the quarterback position of play. Now, Johnny is a special talent. We get that. But far as a three-week threshold in order for him to catch up, I don't see it happening, especially when they're installing 40 to 50 different plays on a daily basis. He has to get pre-snap reads. He has to get the calls down, his cadence right, looking off a DB here or there, making sure he identifies a mic and all that. You're asking a lot of a young quarterback who has no experience doing that, so I don't see him catching up. And it is going exactly the way I saw it, especially when you look at what Johnny did with his month or 6 weeks off, in which he decided to use it as a chance to let down his hair and wild out. So, no, I don't really see it as a quarterback competition. More so if Brian Hoyer is his to lose if he goes out there and plays tight and screws up. I don't see Johnny right now closing that gap.
What do you think about the notion that perhaps Johnny would be worked in like Colin Kaepernick was with certain packages while Brian Hoyer is still the starter?
I heard you guys speak about that earlier, and I really enjoyed the discussion, because I think you guys did an excellent job of covering both sides of the story. Because on one hand, you don't want to force it just so that you come across to the team that you're placating Johnny because he has fanfare and he sells a lot of jerseys. You don't want to do that, because ultimately it's about who the guys in that locker room respect. And does Brian Hoyer need to be taken away from certain play packages, and does it help the team actually win? So if you bring Johnny in there for a package and that actually helps the team succeed, you're all for it. You endorse it. You're about it. But if it's one of those deals where it's just a situation where we got to keep his name and his brand visible, bad move. So I like how you guys discussed that, and I'm for it for the same reason that you guys identified it for, in that it causes a team to prepare for something else, and that can be disruptive because you only have a certain amount of time and in which to prepare.
Talk about that from a defensive standpoint. If you were going through a week of practice, you have the Browns on the schedule, Brian Hoyer is the starting quarterback, and all you have to do is prepare for Brian Hoyer. What's the difference between that and knowing that you might have to prepare for a Johnny Manziel package, because there is such limited time to actually get ready?
And there you have it right there. So instead of just saying, okay, we're focusing on Brian Hoyer and what his strengths are and what his weaknesses are, now you got to throw Johnny Manziel into the mix, and that becomes the wild card. And defensive coordinators don't like wild cards, because then they have to come up with, okay, what coverage would be the proper one? So now they got to install something for that. Now they just put more on the defensive player's plate, because really on defense, you want guys not reading but straight up reacting. And when a quarterback or a situation forces you to read as opposed to just react, then you're at the advantage from an offensive standpoint and a disadvantage being on defense. So you like the idea of Johnny and what he brings to the table, because also he can give you what's called a two-way go, as you guys are familiar with, in which is he going to run the ball or is he going to pass the ball? And that is the worst and hardest thing for a defender to prepare for and study for, because you never know what you're going to get. So it puts you in a bind. So Johnny's skill set, that's a great thing about him, why I give him a chance and a shot. But obviously he has to become a student of the game, guys. And I know you didn't ask me for that part, but I felt I didn't inject that in.
So
he
glad
does.
You
it's
did.
True.
Anything left out, please fill the gaps. Gerard Cherry is joining us, as he always does on Mondays, the three topics with the three-time Super Bowl champion. Gerard, our third topic today, right in your wheelhouse, the secondary. And interesting to watch Justin Gilbert and try to make his way into this lineup. I mean, I think we know, as the eighth overall pick, the intention is to get him out there as soon as possible, as opposed to maybe this discussion about Johnny Manziel. But how ready can he be? And basically the take I've been having on him and getting from others is just about a step, sometimes a half a step behind in most of what he's doing. Speak to how a guy with even a supremely talented player, enough talent to get drafted that high, what he needs to be doing and showing at this point to make sure that you can trust to put him out there as a starter.
You said the key word right there, Vic, trust to put him out there as a starter, because what you worry about with young players especially is he going to get the right assignment correct and do the right things necessary to so that he does not put the defense in a position of vulnerability. So with rookies, you constantly worry about that, especially on the outside. And even if you ask him to play man-on-man, that's simple enough. But in his position, is he doing what he was drafted to do, which is be a man-on-man shutdown corner? And you have to see if he's ready. But what I would do to prepare him, guys, is simply this. As long as Josh Gordon is out there, I'd make sure he took 80 to 90% of his reps against Josh Gordon, and obviously throws a quicker, smaller receiver in the mix just so he does not get used to just always going up against a bigger receiver. So if he can do that and hold his own, that's the best testament of whether or not he's prepared and ready. But also in the playbook, does he get that? Is he making the same mistakes over and over again? Or is he making one mistake and it goes away? Or do we see the same traits day in and day out? And if he's not giving those signs, then you put him out there. But obviously, it's early on. He'll get accustomed to it. He'll adapt. He'll evolve. And that's just part of the process, because there is a speed adjustment even for defenders at cornerback position.
So the pads come on today. The first live scrimmage action. I guess there's going to be a live portion of Thursday's practice at the goal line, but really the first live action for this team will be at the Family Day scrimmage this Saturday, August the 2nd, down in Akron. How important is that in the evaluation process?
Oh, it's extremely important, because that is your first go at it from a real actually playing football standpoint of, can he tackle? Can he catch when he knows he's about to be tackled? Can he run through a defender? Can he bring down a hard-nosed running back? Can a defensive line get pressure and push up the middle from this offensive line? Has the offensive line actually adapted to this new blocking scheme where guys aren't going three-quarters of speed but going full speed? So this is a great identifier of what the progress has been made and where you need to make corrections at. And ultimately, in these situations, early on, the defense will have the advantage, because like I told you guys, defense, you're just reacting. Offense, you still have to get timing down, your sense of chemistry and communication with a new offensive coordinator, a new playing scheme. All those things don't happen overnight. So I will not be surprised if the defense dominates this weekend, or next weekend, rather. Yeah, this weekend. If they dominate this weekend.
Can you believe it?
Saturday. Isn't that crazy? And you got a preseason game this weekend as well.
That's great. Right. I know.
He's here.
Last week without football.
Good stuff. Hey, thank you so much, Gerard, and we look forward to visiting with you again next week.
Sounds great, gentlemen. Take care.
The one and only Gerard Cherry, the three-time Super Bowl champ for three topics. You can hear him right after this show with Bruce Hooley. Hooley and Gerard following this show right here on ESPN 850 WKNR. More coming up on this particular show. We want to get into your tweets. We certainly want to get into your calls. If you've got any other topics you want to hit with us at 216- 888-578-0850. It's a football Monday, a put the pads on Monday. They started hitting today. So much to talk about. Practice again tomorrow before a day off on Wednesday. So we got a lot to break down with you, and we want you to break it down with us. Chop it up. He is Nathan. I'm Vic. And this is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.